We're delighted to be joined by a couple of guests who actually have been with us before, but it's been some time now, I think, or was it last year?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. And that is, and I'm going to blow these, so please forgive me, Nina Segalowicz.
Segalowicz,
yes. Segalowicz, and Lydia Itok.
Yes.
And they are from, let's see, Nina, you're from the Northwest Territories.
Fort Smith.
And I asked Lydia if she would pronounce the name of the town in Quebec where she's from. You need to get a little closer to that mic, if you would.
Okay, it's Gagnon-Sualotjok, northeast of Ungava Bay in northern Quebec.
It's just amazing to me how you can pronounce that many consonants in a row.
I'm used to it, so.
Yes, obviously so. Now, you're here, part of the reason that you're here, or the main reason that you're here, is, of course, tomorrow is the Inuit premiere at Sievertson's Gallery, and you will be performing there three different times tomorrow.
Yes,
So we welcome you to Grand Marais. I want to talk a little bit about throat singing. Is that the official name for it? I mean, that's what we call it. But
yeah, that's what it is, basically. In Inuktitut, we say katatjak, throat singing. Two women facing each other, looking at each other face to face, and competing against one another.
Now, I know that there is such a thing as throat singing, probably by different names, in other cultures as well. But in the Inuit culture, it is only women and done in pairs. Is that correct, Nina?
Yes, that's correct. Traditionally, yes, it's been usually women. Today, there are some men who have tried singing.
Unsuccessfully, I'll bet.
No, I've heard some men who have been able to be quite good. And I've heard of the Tibetan singing, which is the two-tone, other kind of throat singing. But with us, it's really a game. The throat singing, and so when we're singing and we're doing the different songs, and there's a repertoire, the first woman who laughs is the loser.
Okay. So, and if I'm not mistaken, do you also hold each other's forearms when you do this? I mean, you're going to sing for us in a minute, but obviously people won't be able to see that.
Right. Yeah. They'll be able to see it tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow. Three different times, and we'll give those times as we go. Now, how do you, as a child, how did you first learn to do this, or is it just expected that you're going to learn to do it?
It's not that it's expected. Me, I learned, I started throat singing when I was in college.
Oh, really?
When I was about 18 at the time. Because the thing is, throat singing, this is not new, but there are more and more young people throat singing today. Back when the missionaries went up north, the ladies were told not to do it because they were told they were worshiping the demons.
Right.
So in a way, it was their way of converting them to Christianity. So in the 80s, there were very few elders who knew how to throat sing still. And because the Inuit wanted to keep this tradition alive, started asking the elders to teach the younger generation. And so that's how it came back to life.
Hmm.
So for me, I had a friend who was from another community whose grandmother was teaching her. And when she was... like for us, we called, when we go down south, it's Montreal. For us, Montreal is down south. Now, Minnesota is south
right,
for us.
Right, right. So. It's the tropics
and,
for you.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, when she was back in Montreal, in order for her to get better at it, she needed a partner. And she asked me if I would practice with her. Now, I did not know how to do it. So, and she taught me the basics, and this is how I started throat singing with her. This was a practice for her. It was when it was downtime for us, we do it like to see how far we would go. Mm-hmm. So,
is there, Lydia, is there a particular pattern to it all the time, or is it different?
It, There's a repertoire, meaning that they're, depending on this, where you're from up north, like there's different styles.
Oh, I see.
And the one that I learned, like you're asking whether it's expected of me as a child, I was adopted by a Jewish Filipino family, Canadian Jewish Filipino family, so I was not expected to throat sing.
Probably not, no.
I was asked more to attend Tagalog lessons and go to synagogue.
Uh-huh.
But when I was 18 at university, I met my friend Takalik Partridge, who is from Kudruak, and she and I both discovered throat singing together.
Now, let me ask you, if okay, so you practice with her, and you learned with her, and you learned with your friend. Mm-hmm. Can the two of you, though, come together and immediately start doing it?
Yes.
You can?
Yes.
Yes.
But it also depends, like, you have to be comfortable with your partner. Because for me, I've tried singing with other ladies, and it doesn't, if there's no connection of some kind, like, I don't know how to explain there has to be a connection between the two. If there isn't, then it's going to come out wrong.
I see.
So, I don't know, like, Nina and I clicked right away. Like, there was an instant connection, so it was so natural for us to do it together.
Well, let's give folks an idea of what it is. So we're going to have Nina and Lydia do some throat singing now, and we're going to need to position the mic, so you go ahead and get the position you need to be.
Okay, so the one we're going to be doing is called The Wind.
The Wind.
Anorik.
Now, I was having trouble. I think, Lydia, you laugh first. I'm not sure. Is that true?
Smile.
Well, I really wish this were TV, because this is fascinating. But to watch the two of you do it even added so much more. Now, when I was reading about this this art of throat singing, it said that it is intended to, like this, mimic something in your traditional life, the wind or a saw or a puppy or whatever it might be. Is that correct?
In the repertoire of throat singing, all the songs represent the nature.
Mm.
Everything that surrounds us. You have the river, the wind, the animals, geese. You have the saw, the sound of someone sawing.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that surrounds us, yes, that represents, these are imitations.
So it really sounds like, as with a lot of Native people, where in a lot of Native people were losing their language, people weren't speaking the original language anymore, so there's been a kind of a renewal of speaking that. This is kind of the same thing, to keep this alive, to preserve things in your culture.
Yes, yeah. It is. There's a lot more younger people throat singing and traveling to sharing our culture, the tradition.
Your what?
My daughter, who's 11.
Oh, really?
She knows how to throat sing. And my baby, who's 14 months, will also learn how to throat sing.
Ah.
Even though I grew up not knowing how to. For me, it's a game, and we've been very fortunate to travel because of it. And it's a way to bridge a gap between many cultures, our culture and others, and to create a link through music. But it's also for me a way to heal the bond that was broken when I was taken away, and so that my kids will we do Passover, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. They know about Passover. We go to, you know, we do our Passover Seder, but they also know how to throat sing, and, you know, so there's a real mixture.
Interesting. Now, you call it a game, but it seems like it's more than that. It seems like it's, or maybe...
It is a game.
And what do we compete for?
Back in the day when Inuit were still living in the igloos, the men went out hunting, the women stayed behind and did their domestic things.
Chores.
And when they were done, they would gather, get together, and to pass the time, that's what they did. Mm-hmm. They competed with one another. It is a game. The goal of the game is to throat sing as long as possible. The person who stops or laughs first loses the game. So it's not only a game, but women would throat sing to get their babies to fall asleep. I don't know if you guys have seen a woman wearing an amautik. It's a winter coat made specifically for women. There's a big pouch in the back and mm-hmm. a hood mm-hmm. to cover the baby. Now, the baby has direct contact with the mother's back, and when you're throat singing, you can feel the vibrations, and that's how you can get the baby to fall asleep. Huh. So it was to stay warm. Like, you have to move. When you're in an environment that is really cold, you need to move.
Sure.
To stay warm, so that was a way to keep themselves warm as well. So,
want to let our listeners know that we're visiting with Nina Segalowicz. Close?
Segalowicz.
Why can't I get that? Segalowicz. You do it next time. And Lydia Itak, who are throat singers. They will be appearing tomorrow at Severson Gallery. They'll perform at 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and also 3 p.m. Now,
and 6 p.m.
Oh, thank you. 6 p.m. What mic are you? Oh, wait. thank you. And now you travel around. Is there a particular time or place when this is normally done in your culture? I mean, you two travel around and perform it, but I don't assume everybody does that necessarily. Is that true?
No, not everybody does. But when there are gatherings in the town, like... the ladies get to do it. Like, they get together and share and give tips and teach others. So there are evenings.
Okay, let me ask you. If you're going to teach, when you start to teach your 14-month-old baby, what is the first thing that they have to learn and pay attention?
well, when I first learned the basic sound that I was... it was described to me was when you clear your throat, the muscles that you use is what you're trying to control. So practicing sounds like and just to get to feeling and to be able to feel the difference when you're able to control and the muscles in your throat and just being able to repeat it.
Uh-huh.
And once you get the basic ability to constrict and to stop the sound and to use your breathing, then you can do different sounds and different words. And
it must take a long time to learn this.
You have to practice, that's for sure, because when you're throat singing, it has to be easy enough for you. You cannot force your throat or your vocal cords. Because you're going to lose your voice
if
you force yourself too much. It has to come out easily.
I'm just picturing an Inuit village where women are walking around the village and everybody practicing.
Try doing that downtown Montreal. I almost got carted away. No, I'm just kidding.
Now, and once again, you said the game is you do it till the first one laughs.
Yeah.
What's the longest you've ever gone?
I'm not sure. We've never timed it.
And it's funny because traditionally, like, it is a game and it's a competition, but we also bet.
Oh, you do?
We did bet, not today.
Oh, I see.
But before we used to bet for kamiks, like the boots or the mittens.
Uh-huh.
for pieces of clothing. Like if I had a top that she wanted, then we would compete. And sometimes even for hunters, if there was a hunter, an available bachelor who was a really good hunter, and we both wanted the same hunter, theoretically we would be able to throat sing, and whoever lost gave up the right to be his partner.
This is serious business. This is not so much a game.
It's a serious competition.
It is a serious competition.
Bring it on.
Yeah, there'd be no laughing.
But today it's very much competition, and for us it's a way to travel and to represent our culture and to talk and create a dialogue and use music as a way to start a discussion.
It's wonderful. Can we hear some more?
Absolutely.
Great. Oh, that was quick. You done lost the hunter.
Okay. Let's get serious.
That is just fascinating. It really is. It's beautiful. I don't know what.
Sorry, we should tell folks what that looked like. They were standing with holding each other's forearms,
right,
and their faces are about 9-10 inches apart from each other, and they're turning in rhythm to the chant or the music and looking right at each other, try to psych each other out.
Looking in each other's eyes the whole time.
What you're supposed to do is look at each other's eyes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That is difficult. I was looking at her mouth.
I was looking behind
because
you.
Because one of the, like, you have to, you know, when throat singing, you have the leader and the follower. The leader tries to trick the follower.
Oh, and I see.
That's one way of trying to, like, increase your chances of winning. And the other one is you have to look into each other's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're looking at each other's eyes for a while, it becomes very intimidating.
I can see, yes.
That's why I look at her mouth.
Now, how do you decide, or how do you know who leads? Or is that trade off? Or who was leading in that last one, for instance?
I was leading.
You were leading.
Yeah.
You look surprised.
No. I'm just... I usually follow. Like, I throat sing with another woman, tag like partners, like I said, who I was originally learning how to throat sing with. And it depends on the comfort level, too. Like, if someone is more comfortable leading
or
following, it's not like the leader is not necessarily the winner. And, the it's just whoever wants to start and whoever has the easier time jumping in, because we're doing the same sound.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yes. The song we were just doing, we're both doing exactly the same thing, but it was like Frère Jacques.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a round. So
I understand.
It's syncopated.
Sure.
So whoever starts, and there's like.
It's fascinating.
But it's exactly the same. Yeah.
Now, what was that? What was the name of it?
That was the saw.
That was the saw.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Like if we break it down.
And join in whenever you want.
I thought that one might be the saw.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Well, it was like in the previous one did remind me of the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
I thought I heard it change partway through and then change back again.
Yeah, that's there's... You make changes. Like, that's your way of trying to trick the other one. Because if one makes a mistake, you lose.
That's when you start to laugh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or like that you just start smiling from the corner of your mouth. And then you try really hard to get it back to normal. And then, you know.
In a way that is not even close to that, but it's like a game that we used to play when we were kids, with kind of a stare down. You had to keep staring in a person's eyes, and the first one that blinked or looked away lost. Well, yeah. This is what it, well, I want to thank you both for coming in so much. It was really good to see you again. Once again, Nina and Lydia will be appearing tomorrow at Severson's Gallery at 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 3 p.m., and 6 p.m.
Wow.
And if you get a chance, even if you don't get a chance, absolutely go down there and meet them and see them. We really appreciate you coming in tonight.
Thank you for
Thanks
having
so
us.
Much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Enjoy your stay.
Have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you.